So one of these nights, and about 12 o'clock, this over the Gonderdyland Rock. Saints, they all tremble and cry for pain, for the Lord's gonna come in his heaven airplane.
Dear Lord, baby Jesus, or as our brothers to the south call you, Jesus, we thank you so much for this bountiful harvest of Domino's, KFC, and the always delicious Taco Bell. When you say grace, you can say it to grown-up Jesus, or teenage Jesus, or bearded Jesus, or whoever you want.
Now, for all parents, naming their child is a very exciting time. But how would you feel if someone made you change it to something completely different? Well, that's just what's happened in Tennessee. Yeah, a judge has ordered the parents of a baby called Messiah to change it to Martin. The mother and father had attended a child support hearing for a dispute over their child's surname, which is also Martin. Yeah, this is confusing. However, the judge actually had a problem with the baby's first name.
Messiah is a title, and it's a title that has only been earned by one person. And that one person is Jesus Christ.
And as expected, Messiah's mother, Jalessa, is going to appeal.
Everybody believes what they want, so I think I should be able to name my child what I want to name him. And I didn't think a judge could make me change my baby's name because of her religious beliefs.
And the name Messiah isn't that uncommon either. It was the 387th most popular name for boys born in the U.S.
Are y'all kiddians?
10, 9, 8. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I tell you, suicide, it's a suicide. What do I buy? Suicide, it's a suicide. Suicide, it's a suicide. What do I buy? Suicide, it's a suicide.
If your limbs begin dissolving in the water that you tread, all surroundings are evolving in the stream that clears your head. Find yourself a caravan like Noah must have led. 4 and 20 birds of Maya baked into an atom you, polarized into existence magnet heart from red to blue, to such extent the realm of dark within the picture it seems true. All your lightning waits inside you, travel it along your spine. 7 stars receive your visit, 7 seals remain divine. 7 churches filled with spirit, treasure from the angel's mind. The space you make has your own laws, no longer human gods or cause. The center of this house will never die. One-eyed men aren't really reigning, they just march in place until 2-eyed men with mystery training finally feel the power fill. 3-eyed men are not complaining, they can yo-yo where they will. They slip inside this house as they pass by.
Everything we have to do is to get to the truth has to be sneaky. It seems a shame to sneak to get to the truth, to make the truth such an evil, dirty, old, nasty thing. You gotta sneak to get to the truth. The truth is condemned. The truth is in the gas chamber. The truth has been in your stockyards, your slaughterhouses. The truth has been in your reservations, building your railroads, emptying your garbage. The truth is in your ghettos, in your jails. And your young love, not in your courts or your Congress, where the old sit judgment on the young. What the hell do the old know about the young? They put a picture of old George on the dollar and tell you that he's your father, worship him. Look at the madness that goes on. You can't prove anything that happened yesterday. Now is the only thing that's real.
The holidays are coming up, you guys, and what Jewish Christmas, it's not Hanukkah. Hanukkah is just falls out around the same time as Christmas. So everybody does the presents because Jews felt left out. That's only an American Jewish thing. It might have now gone to other parts of the world, but that's an American invention for Jews. Hanukkah is not our Christmas. We just do the presents. Christmas, to me, is the time when everyone comes together. So Christians have two of those holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas. And everyone gets together, and you have a nice family meal. And we have Rosh Hashanah, that's the New Year, and Passover, which is around your Easter. And I think you guys do Easter dinners, too, where you eat the blood of Christ. I think you get, like, tofu, and you dress it up like Jesus on the cross, then cut it like one of those, like, cakes that look like something. anyway, Passover, and it's coming up. So I figured, let me go over the Passover story for you guys. So here's what, if you don't know, the Passover story starts like this. The Jews were in, it's a commemoration of when we left Egypt. The Jews were in Egypt. All right, it starts with Joseph, and he had a technicolored coat, and his brothers sold him into slavery. It was Abraham, gave birth to Isaac. Isaac had 12 kids, and those are the 12 tribes of Judaism. Could be 10. And one of them was Jerk, and so they sold him into slavery, and they eventually ended up in Egypt. And then he started a race of slaves. A whole race of slaves, and we eventually got out of Egypt. And Passover commemorates that day. So we do things like we lean when we eat. We lean to our right. We put a little pillow, and we lean. And that shows how we're free. Because for a long time, they're like, hey, what are you doing over there? Hey, slaves, what are you doing? Are you leaning? You know that's a free man's thing. So we lean and we eat. And the ironic thing is that if we try to lean the rest of the year, our Jewish mothers will tell us, stop it. Don't lean at the table. Have some manners. Like, you are literally taking away my freedom with your nagging. And there's a bunch of stuff we do. That we have a Passover Seder plate, which shows a bunch of different things on there. One is the lamb bone, which is we're supposed to give a sacrifice. Choose to worship God instead of saying, hey, thanks, God. This all comes from a time when we didn't know anything about the world. So when Judaism was invented, it was just based on their ideas of the world at the time. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't think. I always make fun of Mormons because they said that Jesus went to the moon after he came to America and buried the golden tablets, brought a bunch of Israelites with him, the Hebrews, and later they became the Indians, Native Americans. That's actually what they do believe, that Jesus brought Hebrews to America and they settled there, became Native Americans. Look at a Native American and a Jew next to each other in a picture. Tell me if you agree with that. But they didn't have those studies back then. So he did that then in a smaller known book. He went to the moon, buried more golden tablets where they're waiting to be discovered. But I'll just tell you the end. He believes they're still there, Jews on the moon. And the problem is when they made that up, they made the story up. They clearly made the story up because there's no Jews on the moon. They can't breathe on the moon. They didn't know any of that. They didn't know you couldn't breathe on the moon when they made the story up. They also didn't think we'd ever be able to go there. They were like, the only way to get to a moon, they didn't have anything that flew. So how would you get there? Ride the back of a giant bird? I mean, take a golden ladder? It was a lie that you couldn't check on. But then technology surpassed their understanding of the world, and they're like, oh, now we can check on that lie.
Yeah!
let's get back to the Passover. So the Jews were slaves, and they needed to get out. And so Moses was born, and his mother did not want him to be a slave. So she put him in a basket and laid him in the Nile and set him off into the Nile. I want you guys to hear what I just said. There's a mother, and this mother didn't want her son to be a slave. So instead of having him be a slave, she thought, here's a better life for him. I'll put him in a basket in a river, and I'm sure this will work out. I'm sure it won't tip over. Or the Nile, aren't there even like hippopotamuses and alligators in the Nile? Piranha? Nah, the Nile will take care of him. Turns out it did. Down the river, guess who was there? The Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh was the king. And her daughter was bathing. Kind of like, she bathed kind of like the way Arsenio Hall bathed in Coming to America. And what's the other guy's name? Eddie Murphy. Where they sit there and then they have all their slaves bathe them. The royal penis is clean, sir. So the Pharaoh's daughter was bathing there. Lo and behold, what's coming up in a basket, in a floating basket? A baby. And you know how high blood works. If you just find a baby, of course you can raise it as your own. That's not how it works. That's not how the monarchy works. You can't just raise a kid as your own. If the lineage goes by your blood, you can't just find a kid and say, oh, that's my daughter now. No. You can raise it until it gets uncute, the way Mexicans do with chihuahuas, but then you have to set it free in the street to die. Anyway, she takes it, raises her own. That's Moses. I don't know who Moses' mother was, but she did have other children. She did not learn from her not mistakes. She actually did the right thing. It's like taking a half-court three-pointer and making it, and then the coach takes you out. You're like, what's up? I'm making this, bro. I'm switching them. Why are you taking me out? Because it's a bad shot. It's a low-percentage shot is what he would say. So this is a low-percentage shot. So even though it worked out, the other children, Miriam and Aaron, she goes, no, I'm raising you guys. Moses is important. I'll throw him in the river. But she was just trying to get rid of her kid. She was clearly just trying to kill her child. And then later she had a little more money. Maybe her father was more a part of her life. And she goes, all right, these I'll raise. So Moses is raised by the Pharaoh. And that's important because then the Pharaoh couldn't really fuck with Moses too much while he was coming at them. And he would come at them. Because when he grew up, it was time for the Jews to leave Egypt. And here's what happens. So Moses goes to the Pharaoh and says, Pharaoh, I'd like to talk to you. He goes, who are you? He goes, you know who I am. I'm your daughter's son. Goes, you're a sort of son. So he went to Pharaoh and said, please, let my people go.
I feel like somebody trying to be released from Egypt. Let my people go!
He goes, what? Your people? Who are your people? A faker? You sellout faker? You've been living off the high life. Living off slave labor in the palace, your people. You've gone to visit them for the last 3 weeks. College-ass, liberal arts-educated motherfucker. You think you care about suffering in the world now because you just heard about it in the last 6 months in your diversity class? Who do you think made your food for you? Who do you think washes your clothes? Slaves. Slaves, bro. Your people.
Let my people go!
Anyway. He goes to Pharaoh and says, let my people go.
Let my people go!
You're ridiculous, bro. That's our entire mode of labor. Slaves. Now, they didn't just have Jews. They did have other slaves, too. But Jews were a big part of it. There were lots of them. I think 400,000 of them. So he said, hey, let my people go.
Let my people go!
He said he won't. No way. No way. Not doing it. So what Moses does is he goes and gets Aaron. He says, Aaron, touch his water, his brother, touch the water, touch your staff into the water of the Nile. And he did. And you know what happened? The water turned into blood. The entire Nile turned into blood. And that's Moses going, listen, bro. I have a powerful God. You should do what we say. But Pharaoh had powerful gods too. He had sorcerers. And what they did is like, we can do that shit too, bro. We can turn water into blood. Look, and sorcerers turn water into blood.
Tim Jeffa Kau Tapin Mu F Ta F Sem F Mene menet ef nebet. Hayet nebet. Henenet nebet. Jede fuet ef. Awet ef. Haset. Semau em sa.
So you know what Pharaoh did? He doubled the Jews' work. That's the official quote. Doubled their work. How much labor were they doing before, where they had time to double their output? I mean, honestly, Jews, at this point, I think you're pushing it. What do you get? They're having you work 6-hour days? And he ups it to 12? At that point, if you're a Jew, it's like, Moses, what the fuck are you and Aaron doing? Also, why do you got to have Aaron touch the staff for the water? You'd be the one, whatever. I guess to show him he didn't learn it from the sorcerers. It's a Jew trick. I mean, 4 hours to eight? What was it? Where were they working? 10 hours? You can't work them 20 hours. They'll die real soon. 8 hours to 16, go right to bed. Your lunch break goes from an hour to 30 minutes. I don't know about this doubling. I mean, you pretty much have to work 6-7 hours, and that's a low output for a slave. Unless they double the effort put out. Just like, hey, when you're working, really don't lift like 20 pounds, lift 40 pounds. And then again, it's like, dude, how hard was it? It ain't that hard. Why are you fucking with Pharaoh? Anyway, it doesn't do it. They go back double their efforts. Moses comes back, and he says, all right, Pharaoh, can you lay off? And he goes, no. And he goes, okay, fine, then I'm bringing another plague. Plague two, frogs. And tons of frogs everywhere. I mean, not just a little bit of frogs. I mean, layers of frogs. Remember Magnolia, where the frogs rained from the sky? They rained from the sky like that. But then it was like you couldn't even like walk in the streets. There was like a layer of like a foot high of frogs everywhere. And Pharaoh was like, all right, all right, all right. Tell you what. Fine, fine, fine. You guys, I can't deal with you anymore. You're too much trouble. You can go. But first, Moses had to be like, tell you what, to prove, because his own people could do it too. Pharaoh's sorcerers could do this too. But what they couldn't do was make the frogs go away. So they said it must be a real God doing that. So Moses said, okay, tell me when you want to show you it's me. Tell me when you want me to get rid of them. And Pharaoh said, okay, noon tomorrow. Why not right away? This is bothering my whole country. Noon tomorrow. Show me that. Noon tomorrow. So the next day, Moses got rid of it. And Pharaoh said, okay, you can leave. But then he's like, nah, you know what? Now that the frogs are gone, go fuck yourself.
Let's begin. Take it down and up. Zip it up. Good. Take it down. Right here you should feel it. All right in that rear end. Good. Wonderful.
You're not leaving. Which is like, you don't negotiate that way. That's not the way you negotiate. And okay, here's the problem, though. Right then, Moses should be like, all right, fine, I'm bringing the frogs back. I'll give you one more time where I'll get rid of them before I leave, and then I'm going. But if I were Pharaoh, I'd be like, well, then how am I going to know you're not going to just get the frogs back again, but right before you leave? What's to say you won't do that? And Moses would be like, you're the one who's going back on his root word, you fucking Egyptian piece of shit. Non-Arab. Anyway, it goes back in his word. Moses never thinks to use that one again. It worked, bro. It worked. But he goes, no, let's do some flair with this. Lice. He gave everyone lice, which is really kind of annoying. But honestly, I mean, I got to think. What was the shampoo situation like in Egypt anyway? Aaron touched a staff. To the dust on the ground, gnats came out and they came upon the men and the animals, and dust throughout the land of Egypt became lice. So the Egyptian sorcerers declared this was definitely an act of God, because they weren't able to reproduce the effects. They couldn't do it. They couldn't like do it themselves. So like, this is definitely God. He doesn't let him go, though. He goes, all right, that beat it, but whatever. Hits him again. Wild animals and flies, probably flies. This is the fourth plague. Fucked up the animals. But they still live, but it fucked them all up. And at this point, Pharaoh is like, all right. Moses said, please, Pharaoh, let him go. And he goes, okay, I'm going to allow the Israelites to leave. The problem was, after the plague was gone, and this is what it actually says, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. He wouldn't let Pharaoh let them leave. Now I'm starting to get into some major issues with God, with Pharaoh, the whole thing. Okay. Why? You're already ready to let him leave. Why are you hardening his heart? You're saying, I'm not going to let him leave so I can give you more plagues? It's like, dude, I get it. You have a closer. But your time, the light's on. You got to go. You should have done the closer already. You have these six other plagues ready to go. Save him, bro. Save him. You did your job. Here's the other problem. You're not fucking with Pharaoh, which is what you should do. You're fucking with the entire Egypt, and they didn't do anything wrong. You got a lot of menial labor people there. You got a lot of low-level guys. You think I'm a fucking slave driver? You think that's a good job? A guy who whips slaves all day? You're out in the sun, bro. That's the equivalent of working on a tarmac in an airfield. What's your job? I whip slaves all day. That ain't easy. But he's fucking with them too. They got lice now all of a sudden. You know they're all talking like, dude, let him go. We got plenty of other slaves. Let him go. But he hardened their heart, which is like, how are you negotiating? How is he learning a lesson? Also, at this point, Pharaoh never goes to Aaron. He's like, I'm gonna just kill Aaron. Hey, Moses, you going to keep fucking with us? I can't fuck with you because you're my daughter's like adopted son or some shit, which I don't believe in. So I can't fuck with you. But I can fuck with Aaron. I can fuck with other Jews. Why didn't he put a whip to the head of one of the other Jews, of 10 other Jews, the little Jew kid? I'm like, hey, Moses, you still want to go through with this? I'm going to strangle these Jew kids with a whip. Blood's going to be in your hands, Moses. Yeah, we'll see how it does then. Punk-ass Pharaoh didn't do shit. All he does is not let him go. This seems, I mean, in terms of slaves where he goes, it seems like America was way worse to our slaves than Pharaoh was to their slaves.
I'll be so glad when the sun go down. I'll be so glad when the sun go down. Tonight all that's leaving, but I wanna lie down. Tonight all that's leaving, but I wanna lie down.
I wanna lie down.
I ain't all that sleeping, but I wanna lie down. Oh, what got the matter, baby?
Girl, I can't see.
Oh, what got the matter, baby?
Girl, I can't see.
No, the sergeant and the driver's both.
Get down on me.
No, the sergeant and the driver's both. Get down on me. Just chop your corner like I chop mine. Just chop your corner like I chop mine. Well, you won't be worried when the sun go down. You'll never be worried
when the sun go down.
I made you a living when I was free. I made you a living when I was free.
When I was free.
I'm in a world of trouble. You won't write to me. I'm in a world of trouble. You won't write to me.
Won't write to me.
Anyway, God decides to fuck over all the Egyptians, even though they didn't do it. The rulers owned them. And if the rulers didn't own them, if everyone owned their individual slaves, then you shouldn't be talking to the Pharaoh about it. You should be talking about everybody's individual slaves. It's like in America, if they went to the president and said, oh, you got to release the blacks. He'd be like, yeah, okay, they're released. But, like, I mean, that guy owns his slaves. He's not going to release them. You really got to make slavery. You got to abolish slavery. And he wasn't even asking that. He was asking for Jewish slaves to be abolished. Jewish slavery only to be abolished. Because in God's eyes, the rest of the slaves, you know, price of doing business, bruh. Diseased livestock was the next one. An epidemic disease which exterminated Egyptian livestock. Horses, donkeys, camels, cattle, sheep, goats, destroyed. Once again, Pharaoh made no concessions. And I believe him. I get it from this point. I made a concession last time. I let you go. And then God hardened my heart. And then I couldn't let you go. Well, if I let you go again, it's just going to harden my heart again. But he made no concessions. Keep this one in mind, though. Diseased livestock, because they all died. So keep that in mind. I got to get back to it. Next is boils, some skin disease. God commanded Moses and Aaron to each take two handfuls of soot from a furnace, which Moses scattered skyward in Pharaoh's presence. He threw it up in the air, kind of like LeBron James. And it made festering eruptions on the Egyptian men and livestock. Again with the livestock. In fact, they did nothing. PETA was not around at that time. The Egyptian sorcerers also fell prey to this new Jew sorcery. And they were unable to heal themselves, much less the rest of Egypt. Their sorcerers couldn't do it. First of all, who were these Egyptian sorcerers? I mean, yeah, they were outclassed by God, but it seems like they could do a lot of stuff. They can make swarms of flies. They can make the river turn into blood. They need them in Game of Thrones. No concessions. Thunderstorms of hail and fire. Giant hail destroying houses. Knocking everything down. Pharaoh asked Moses to remove the plague. And he says, listen, if you do it, And this is why I asked him to go. Let my people go. These are the exact words that God tells Moses to say. Let my people go so they can worship me. And Pharaoh says to him, who is Yahweh? Who's your God that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? So he has to tell him who his God is by doing all these things. Let my people go so they can worship me. I mean, if Pharaoh was smart, he'd be like, well, hold on. Listen, I've got a lot of pyramids to build. I mean, a lot. We just finished the Sphinx. The nose is fucked up. That's going to cost another $2 million, which was not budgeted. Honestly, and your labor had a lot to do with it. So we need you guys. But how about this? It seems like important thing is that you worship your God, because God lives off, kind of like Freddy Krueger. If nobody worships him, he dies. He goes away. How about I give you guys an hour at lunch, an hour at breakfast, and before you go to sleep, you can worship him 3 times a day. That would be a fair compromise. That would be a totally fair compromise. If I were Moses, I'd be like, you know what? He does seem really concerned with us worshiping him. Let me go back to him. Let me see if this, because he says, doesn't let my people go and they'll worship me. Let my people go so they can worship me. You could do it without letting it go. That's, okay, anyway, thunderstorm of hail and fire. This time, again, he was like, I'm out. Moses stretches his staff skyward. At this point, Moses is kind of an introvert. I don't know if you know this. That's why he had Aaron do a lot of this for him. But this time, now he's getting comfortable, like a lot of introverts. Once they get going, they're okay. You know, if you get introverts comfortable in a party or something, just talk to them in a corner for 15, 20 minutes, and slowly move your way in. That's how we get okay. He's doing it. The storm damages all these Egyptians' orchards and crops, as well as the people. Again, they're just the regular people who just have their day jobs, the 7-Eleven workers, the equivalent of the Egyptian 7-Eleven. And Pharaoh's like, all right. Please, Moses, remove the plague. I will totally allow you to worship God in the desert. And he said, this time I've sinned. God is righteous and my people are wicked, which is not true. Now, that's a forced confession. Your people are not wicked. The higher-ups are wicked. The low-level Egyptians, dude, are doing nothing wrong. I mean, maybe they had slaves, too. I mean, I guess if they had slaves around their apartments and shit, then it's like, well, you guys aren't blameless. But let them each make their own decision. How about saying, like, or the guys who can't afford slaves, or even the ones that can, say, oh, yeah, yeah, listen, I don't want boils. Can I just let them go? Yeah, why let individual people go? Dude, I only had 6 horses, and 2-3 of them are dead now because you're, okay, you guys, you're out, you're good. Although, honestly, now I need labor more than ever, but whatever. Pharaoh says, please, Moses, take the thunderstorm of hail and fire away. All these crops are up. The orchards are gone. I've sinned. Your God is good. As a show of God's mastery of the world, the hail stopped as soon as Moses began praying to God. He said, pray, God, please. Why do you start sacrificing? Prayer is here, and then you start sacrificing? It doesn't make sense. But anyway, after the storm stopped, Pharaoh again hardened his heart, which is what God did to him. God said he wanted to say yes. He wanted to say, yeah, I'm into it. But God said no. Now, either that's God saying, I'm not going to keep being the bitch about this. You keep saying no. So I'll tell you what. I'll just say I'm the one who hardened Pharaoh's heart. He didn't do it. I did it. Or it's Pharaoh saying, okay, fine. And then his people going, hey, no. We're not letting go of these. Handle your business. No, don't let the slaves go. Handle this. Kill some of the Israelis, bro. Murder some of those motherfuckers in front of their parents so Moses can see it. Then see if he comes back for plagues 8, 9, and 10. Doesn't do shit.
Distance in your eyes. Oh no, I've said too much. Set it up. That's me in the corner. That's me in the spotlight. Losing my religion. Trying to keep
I heard you.
locusts is eight. Locusts everywhere. They, again, eat all the crops. Moses picked up and stretched his staff over Egypt, and a wind picked up from the east, and the wind continued until the following day when it brought a locust of swarm. This locust of swarm came, covered the sky, and made a shadow over all of Egypt, like when Mr. Burns made a shadow over Springfield. It consumed all the remaining crops of Egypt. Not a single tree or plant was left standing. No plants. No plants, no trees. At this point, you guys, the reality is, what we know now, Egypt is dead. If you don't have any plants or any trees, you're done. You cannot eat only meat. You're done. And where are you going to plant new trees? From the seeds of the crops that don't exist? You're done. Egypt is done. Well, the Nile and the Nile River Basin is very fertile. Yeah, when they were thinking about trees there. But you're 25 years away from getting another apple. So, what we know now, this just can't be true. So, Pharaoh again asked Moses to say, hey, come on, get rid of this dude. Allow the Israelites to worship God in the desert. As promised, God sent a wind, blew the locusts into the Red Sea. But he hardened Pharaoh's heart again. Did not let the Israelites leave. Come on, dude. Why do you keep going back to him? Why do you keep asking him? It's come with the one guy. And the one guy wasn't responsible for them being in slavery. They've been in slavery for 400 years or 200 years, depending on who you ask. Harden his heart. He wasn't even the one who put him into slavery. He's been in power. They lived like 40 years then, tops. He's been in power for 20 years. They've been in for 200 years. It wasn't his fault, man. Darkness, number 9. Everything went dark for 3 days. No one could see. They even have some people say that candles wouldn't work. This plague was an attack aimed directly at, here's the deal, at Pharaoh's god. He had a god named Ra, the god Ra. He was the Egyptian sun god. So this was pretty badass. At this point, God was like, you think I'm powerful, but it ain't about me just being powerful. It's about your guy being a little bitch. Oh, who's your god? The sun god? I made a shadow so your sun god can't even get through, but you still think he exists. Well, now there is no sun. We have a clear power. And it shows the folly of worshiping Egyptian gods. I have a major issue with this. It's supposed to be a leap of faith when you believe. He's showing all the Egyptians that our God, the Jewish God, is more powerful than the Egyptian God, leaving them really no choice but to then worship the Jewish God. I mean, if your God is more powerful than my God, I'm going to switch over. All right, so doesn't do anything. Doesn't give any concessions either way. Goes right to number 10, death of firstborn. Now, you guys, this dude, Pharaoh, was trying to let us go. He was trying to let us go for all these 9 plagues. Let's say 5 of them. He was literally said, okay, you can go, and then wanted to fulfill it, but God wouldn't let him. And now God comes in with the harshest, cruelest one. He takes every firstborn son. He lets the girls go because girls are weak at this point. Every firstborn son, and he kills them all overnight. Okay, if your firstborn is not a son, is not a child, is not a boy, then maybe it wouldn't happen. But do you know anybody? Can you picture their little kid? This 16-year-old kid who's a starter on his basketball team as a sophomore. But that was the first kid his parents had. He woke up dead. Every firstborn son. And it might have been they skipped over the firstborn girl to get to the firstborn son, or if the firstborn was girl, they didn't do anything. Might have been all the firstborn. This is what the Lord said. About midnight, and go throughout Egypt, and every firstborn in Egypt will die. From the firstborn of son of Pharaoh who sits on the throne to the firstborn of the slave girl who is at her handmill. Oh, he even killed the slave? The slave's firstborn? Oh, and all the firstborn of the cattle as well?
And, you know, they've been really destroyed already, the cattle. Remember when the livestock, they got killed, and also the lice and the boils affected the cattle too, and they have no crops to eat now, so they're all dying. Jesus, bro.
There will be a loud wailing throughout Egypt, worse than has ever been or will ever be again. Dude, he killed every human, firstborn in every family. He killed the firstborn of all the cattle. Jesus Christ. That's so unbelievably cruel. Bloodthirsty. I mean, looking back now, that's terrible. He killed the firstborns of the other slaves. Because, again, God does not care about other slaves. He just cares about the Jewish slaves.
Because you won't let my people depart, I'm sending my plagues against your heart. You and your servants soon shall see, in all the earth there is none like me. And if I chose, I could send my hand to wipe you out from the face of the land. But I'll let you live, so you may declare how great my name is everywhere. Puddle in the mud. Every drop of water shall be turned into blood. The fish life will perish, the river will stink. The Nile will be violent, impossible to drink. And from the bloody waters, frogs will ascend to enter the houses of you and your friends. They'll creep through your bedroom, your kitchen too. They'll hop in your food and they'll climb into you. And when the frogs die, their stench will disgust, and lice infestation will form from the dust. The lice will reach each corner of the land, living on the bodies of animal and man. Because you won't let my people depart, I'm sending my plagues against your heart. You and your servants soon shall see, in all the earth there is none like me. And if I chose, I could send my hand to wipe you out from the face of the land. But I'll let you live, so you may declare how great my name is everywhere.
On you and your servants shall be unleashed a horde of vicious and venomous beasts, emerging even from under the ground, except in those regions my people are found. A severe epidemic will kill all the sheep and horses and donkeys and camels you keep. Your cattle will fall with the blink of an eye, but no livestock or my people will die. And a handful of soot from the fireplace will be thrown in the sky right before your face. Then burning and blistering boils will begin to erupt on you and your servant's skin.
Because you won't let my people depart, I'm sending my plagues against your heart. You and your servants soon shall see, in all the earth there is none like me. And if I chose, I could send my hand to wipe you out from the face of the land. But I'll let you live, so you may declare how great my name is everywhere. My people depart, I'm sending my plagues against your heart. You and your servants soon shall see, in all the earth there is none like me. And if I chose, I could send my hand to wipe you out from the face of the land. But I'll let you live, so you may declare how great my name is everywhere.
And every firstborn man would die when midnight strikes your land. Give them all that they request. They will no longer be your slaves.
bending my blades against your heart. You and your servants soon shall see. In all the earth there is none like me. And if I chose, I could send my hand to wipe you out from the face of the land. But I let you live, so you may declare how great my name is everywhere.
Okay, before this plague, here's the cool thing. God commanded Moses to tell everybody, tell all the Israelites to mark lamb's blood above their doors, on every door, in which case the Lord is going to pass over them. They used to think that's where they got the term Passover. So they painted the doorways with blood. I don't know whose blood. Lamb's blood, that's right. And so when the angel of death came, he'd see the lamb's blood. It was like, oh, okay, I'm not doing that. You don't think they helped anybody? They didn't help one person. You know, in the Holocaust, there were a lot of non-Jews who hid Jews or said, let me take your child. I'll raise him as my own. That way he can survive. And a lot of Jews said, yes, thank you. I would love for my child to survive even if I can't. And that's the most they could do. They couldn't hide everybody. Not everybody had addicts. So they help as many people as they can. And they said, you just had a kid. Give him to me. My friends live in a town over. No one will know where it came from. This kid can live. The Nazis aren't us. We're just people who live in Belgium. We'll help your children. Well, you're my neighbor. Of course I'll help you as much as I can. But if I hide you, we'll all be killed. So you don't think any one of them said, hey, to the other slaves they worked side by side with, dude, they've got red paint, bro. Here, I'll give you some lamb's blood. So Jews had lamb too? Dude, their slavery didn't seem tough at all. They had lamb. Our slaves were way tougher. All they had was chitlin. Entrails. Of the animal.
And God, because we have pigs, there's chillings today on our tables, God. You're so mindful of your people. And we have chillings today, God. Hallelujah. And Louisiana hot sauce. You're mindful, God. You're mindful, God.
Anyway, killed everything. At this point, Pharaoh furious. And he was afraid to be killed next. I mean, this was the hardest blow to Egypt. I mean, this is the hardest one. After this plague, God finally allowed Pharaoh to say, to choose, in quotation marks, to let the Israelites, the Jews, go. Before this, Pharaoh wanted to free the Jews, but God wouldn't let him, preventing it, forcing him to have his sons killed. Why not just do it all at once then? Why not just do it all at once? You're trying to prove to these people that you're not even going to be around anymore, that you had value, that you had worth. Okay, so after this, Pharaoh is really upset, sad, and afraid that he's going to be killed. He ordered the Jews to leave. Say, take whatever the fuck you wanted and get the fuck out. He asked Moses to bless him in the name of the Lord, please. He goes, please protect us from these people, from your God. And the Jews did not hesitate. They left. Because they said Pharaoh's going to go back on it again. They probably prepared a bunch of times. They said, oh, Pharaoh, he's going to go back on it. This time they didn't wait. They got their shit. And they left, which means maybe they waited before. And they like left for, oh, he's letting us go. Well, let's just drink their wine and stay for a couple days. And Pharaoh was like, you know what? Fuck you guys. You're slaves again. Guess what? You're slaves again. So they left quickly. I think that's not where Passover comes from. I think Passover comes from the Pesach to offer a sacrifice. I think that's what the sacrifice of the lamb was called. Anyway, I don't know for sure that. So the Jews left, and they didn't have time to let their bread rise. Their bread was cooking. They cooked their own bread, you guys. They didn't have time to let it rise, so that's how matzah comes. Matzah comes from this time where the Jews, it signifies how the Jews didn't have their time. Also on the Seder plate, the maror is this really bitter, it's like grain. It's kind of like just horseradish, a ground white horseradish. So spicy, it goes right up through your nose. If you got a stuffed nose, it clears it out. And it's bitterness. It signifies the bitter toils of slavery. Jews love signifying fish through for food. We're gonna eat, so let's signify some shit. The honey dipped in apple dipped in honey to signify a round new year and a sweet new year. God, so stupid. Anyway, so they didn't have time to let the bread rise, so they took it really quickly and took it with them. Which is like, dude, just don't take the bread with you. What do you mean you don't have time to let the bread rise? Just go get some other food. Oh, we don't have time to let this bread rise. Let's stop it halfway through the recipe. It's not done, bro. So there's a bunch of shit now that we do every year. We eat matzah. I have a friend, Aaron, he didn't want to eat unleavened bread, but he wanted to participate in Judaism, so he would take his bread and smush it down so it would look unleavened. It's like, dude, that's not the way you do it.
Look, I'm the man, bro. I don't really care what the fuck you think. State look red, but a girl that pink and the grundle stink and a bumpin' sink. Don't suck it, but I blow that good. Don't want this shit, but I hold that wood. Let me hold that, been a fold that, get a Kodak cowboy, Jerry Jones hat. Let me own that word. Dog that girl, you got hair, never cut them curls. True for dead with a cute old pair. Get a room to share, hit a boom pepper. Spit that turd, that's that shit. Got your girl up on my dick. I'm about to sperm up on them hips. Don't wanna murder us a kid. Oh shit, what you say? Don't you do this every day? Don't you usually go with double meat when you eat Chipotle? Don't your crew like someone black, but you want one to hang no slave? And I heard your boo got so much back, like she banging that Notre Dame clock. Faded though, bitches you label undateable. Missing birthdays, hey belated bro. Make it out of San Fran on that rooftop. I got 10 cans, no tube top, cause I'm a man, goddamn, and these monsters just full of shit like Zoom mops.
Hey, y'all ever been to a synagogue?
So, you could do it, you could say it, I've been through it, you can play it. Yeah, I'm Jewish, so I'm praying this your boo, cause I'm a taker. Dinner at the crib, feeding Kobe like a Laker. You know what it is, I'm a mug. K-I-K-E, you don't wanna play D. Going down low on your dame, get your muff. Waiter, you could find a cracker getting paid like a satyr. All day, word up, okay. Whoa, I feel combing in the flow, that's a pro. What you know about Dickie creaming up in hoes? No ho ho. What you know about a baller? Born and raised on the Kabbalah, trying to make a dollar until I'm caking and stacking holla. I'm hollering at your daughter like when the you trying to get it. That vagina fitted, custom for this little dicky puffing sticky while she banging on my wood. Superstitious, it's so good, cool to vicious. Within a minute, I finish, but I ain't tripping off no quick. Not a no pain in the butt, my dick is tough, and my dick sucked, and your dick sucks. For real talk, I can never give an inch up. We tipping cups in the strip club, no flip cup with a fit butt. Rubbing on my Nike zip up, no it's in her, but the bad bitches get cut. Gotta get up, so the dick talk, what the fuck you doing? This that heavy flow, word to pads. Wearing out a lot of boxes on the road, word to plaid. And I gotta have my pops, no cereal, that's word to dad. Watching Breaking Bad with Hank and sipping tab, boy. Look, you can do it, you can say it, I've been through it, you can play it. Yeah, I'm Jewish, so I'm praying that's your boo, cause I'm a taker. Dinner at the crib, feeding Kobe like a Laker. You know what it is, I'm a mom. K-I-K-E, you don't wanna play D. Going down low on your dame, get your muff. Waiter, you can find a cracker getting paid like a satyr. All day, word up, okay.
Yeah. Okay, there's one more thing I want to tell you about Passover. Chametz. We're not allowed to have leavened bread around us at any time. So we have to sell. We can't have our plates that have chametz on them. Chametz is the leavened bread. So if we had a pizza on our plate, the plate's fucked up. Not allowed to own it during Passover. What a lot of people do is they'll leave their entire house. A lot of rich Jews, they'll go to a resort for 8 days or 9 days or go to their grandparents' house. But they still own all their shit. So we take our chametz, all our our leavened bread, all our plates, have anything to do with that, and we sell it to a non-Jew. Sell it. Usually for the price of a dollar. The rabbi, the our church, the synagogue, it acts as a mediary. And it says, okay, I found a Jew, he'll buy your shit for a dollar. And at the end of Passover, the ninth day of Passover, which is the first day of non-Passover, it's an 8-day holiday, you buy it back from the non-Jew for $1 or $100. Maybe you give him something for his troubles coming in. Could be a poor person in the neighborhood. But here's the deal. Anyone being approached by that, you can just say no. You can say, no, I'm not selling it back. And that's all mine. challenge it. I would love to see it challenged in court one time. No, all your silverware, all your dishes, that's mine. I bought it for a dollar. Here's my contract. I don't want to sell it back. I realize the value of this is worth way more than a dollar, and I'm keeping it. You should do it, Goyim. Do it. But you don't. And why don't you? Either because you're stupid financially, or because you're friends with the Jews, or because God has hardened your heart.
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
Men of anger, men of war, my heart is filled with love. Tell me what you are fighting for. My heart is filled with love. This death I see won't make me numb. My heart is filled with love. Every boy, a mother's son, my heart is filled with love. Raise your voices, spread the news, my heart is filled with love. Buddhist, Christian, Muslim, Jew, my heart is filled with love. They all teach the golden rule. My heart is filled with love. Do unto others as you'd have them do. My heart is filled with love. I will not fear these foreign tongues. My heart filled with love. There is a place for everyone. My heart is filled with love. I cannot make their will my own, but my heart is filled with love. Fear can turn a heart to stone, but my heart filled with love. I do not know my neighbor's name, but my heart is filled with love. I love that stranger just the same. My heart is filled with love. Hope is rising from this place. My heart is filled with love. Divine wisdom, amazing grace. My heart is filled with love. Men of anger, men of war, my heart is filled with love. Tell me what you are fighting for. My heart is filled with love. Tell me what you are fighting for. My heart is filled with love. My heart is filled with love. My heart is filled.
Now, gofindtheothers.com.
Yeah, man, I tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.